Good evening and welcome to our evening service. Let's turn to hymn number 292 as we stand and sing, Thou Didst Lead Thy Throne. Hymn number 292 as we stand. This evening, everybody ready to go for our evening service? This is really, to me, this is home place time. Not that Sunday morning or Thursday night isn't, but something about Sunday night services. I just love them. This feels like the just sort of family time. But of course, not everyone is family. Perhaps maybe you're a guest with us this evening. We'll just make yourself at home here at the home place. We're glad to have you. We're looking forward to a great evening, and I'm glad to be back from a few travels. From Georgia this past week. I was down in Winter Haven this morning. I'm going back to Georgia tomorrow. So just trying to keep the road hot. I'm trying to be just like him. So Isaac Ingram, I'm going to ask him if he will to come and open us up in prayer. The bad thing about being gone, during these weeks and days is that the group that's coming in from college, in and out, boy, they're just here for just a couple of days and then gone. I want to see them a little bit more. I want to have lunch with them or just do something. But real life goes on, and they're headed back. We're glad to have Isaac home tonight. I know he's singing here in just a little bit, but I want him to open us up in prayer, if you would, please.
Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this night you've given us to be here, Father. We thank you for your love, even though we don't deserve it, Lord. We're thankful for your gift and your sacrifice, Lord. And as this new year approaches, I pray that we would recommit ourselves to you, Father. May we do all to your honor and your glory, Lord. I pray for Pastor tonight as he brings us the word. Pray you'd empower him, give him the words to say, Lord, and work in our hearts. We love you. Thank you for all you've done. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you. Well, it's been good to have Lyle back. He's played a trumpet solo for us and now piano solo, and he's taken a choral conducting class at college this semester, so we're going to give him a chance to direct the choir now. So he's coming to direct. Let's take our hymn books again. I'm going to have you stand again. You sing so much better standing up. Got to work some of that Christmas dinner off, right? Hymn number 272, While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks. Hymn number 272. Thank you.
same standing. We're going to do it a little different. We're going to do it a little different. I thought you're already standing, and those high sense sitting down and getting back up. We'll just leave you standing, and we'll make the announcements after we fellowship a little bit and let the choir come down and be with you, and that'll be a good thing. Very good tonight. Good music. Tonight's just, somehow today has been a good day of Christmas music. I think everybody just kind of relaxed and just enjoyed the Christmas music today. But what a wonderful, wonderful day of songs about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what we sing for New Year's. I guess we'll have to have somebody write New Year's songs. I guess we could sing I'm Resolved, making New Year's resolutions. But whatever. Anyway, I'm glad you're here tonight. It's a joy to be in God's house, and I hope you'll keep in mind all the announcements that are before us. But I want you to sing, oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins, and I, though wretched and vile, now can sing, oh yes, oh yes. Praise God, praise God. Let's sing it like that. I'm a child of the King. Give it a go. Here we are.
Oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, praise God, I'm a child.
The scripture we read in the service this morning, it's a good thing to sing praises unto the Lord. And some of you look kind of half-hearted on that, I must tell you. Now, it sounded good, but you looked kind of half-hearted. I'd like you to look a little better, and maybe you sound a little better, too. All right? Give it a go again. Here we go. Give us a chord and let's sing.
Oh, yes, I'm the child of the King. And I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, I'm the child of the King.
Okay, now don't share any diseases with anybody, but greet one another and fellowship a little bit. Act like you're glad to be here, all right?
His royal blood now flows in my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, I'm a child of the King.
All right, very good. You may be seated when you find your place. I hope you'll keep in mind the announcements I made. Then Brother Aaron's going to come with some other announcements. But remember, next Sunday night, a week from tonight, a week from right now, we'll be right in the middle of the ordination service for Dr. Charles Prescott. And so I hope you'll be here if you can at all for that. What an interesting thing that is. It's not a thing that happens often in the life of a church. This is an unusual thing. We've had it only one other time that we've had an ordination, and that was when we ordained Adam here at the church. But that'll be a great thing for us. And then Thursday evening, New Year's Eve. Hope you'll be here next Sunday, the first Sunday of the year. And don't forget your tithing envelopes. I saw Bill Bowen. Now, if you don't know Bill Bowen, don't get to know him. Bill's crazy. He's crazy. But he came walking across at Sunday school this morning. He said, I went over there where the tithing envelopes are, and they had them all covered up and said, do not touch. He said, I guess I don't have to tithe anymore. saw him at lunch today. He said, "Well, now that I don't have tithe anymore, I took my wife out for lunch." It's crazy. But loves the Lord and does a good job here. So keep in mind all these things. Then, Aaron, you have some announcements, I know.
January the 8th, Beyond the Mask, right here at the auditorium. Be here for the big movie. We've been talking about it a lot lately. You're going to want to be here for that. Enjoy that. Christmas cards still back there. It's after Christmas, and I had several of them that I had not picked up, because tonight was the first time I've been back since last Sunday, so a few of them had found their way into that box. They're going to do away with that table pretty soon. They'll keep the cards for a little while. Can't keep them forever, but want to make sure you get whatever someone's trying to get to you, but we can't leave that out there forever. So try to get those tonight as soon as you can. Get those picked up. There's folks that have a greeting for you. You're going to want to get that. Search the Scriptures. I was informed just a little while ago that next week, Pastor said we're going to have a copy for everyone of Search the Scriptures for next month. Or it'll be available to you. So I'm going to make extra copies, have them all available. But I do encourage you to get involved with that. But this coming week is our final week in Hebrews 9 and 10. And so we will meet next Sunday night, right after the service. So it's going to be that ordination service. It'll be a great afternoon and evening with those things. But then right after that service is concluded, we'll meet over in the children's building and have our wrap-up discussion for Search the Scriptures in Hebrews 9 and 10. But I'm looking forward to some of you getting involved next month. Maybe you've been thinking about it. Maybe you haven't done it in a while. And I had a fellow this morning who wanted to get involved at the church. And that church that I was at this morning, they are a participant in the study. So I had another one that wanted to get involved there coming in the new year. It's a great time to get going on that. Now, Horizons, those that are going on the retreat, I know that not everyone who is going on the retreat is here tonight, but those of you that are here, the announcement should have been made this morning. It probably was. 9:30 is when I want to be leaving the church in the morning. I don't want you to be here at 9:30. I want to be leaving at 9:30 if at all possible. That'll get us down the road. It'll get us to a good spot for lunch, get us in just in time for supper, settle in for the evening, enjoy our time there, get some rest, and then kick off with the week. We got a full week, got a lot going on. I hate that some of them are missing it because they have to go back and see girlfriends and go to work and whatever it is you do when you go to college and start doing all that stuff. But some of us are going to go and have a great time. I'm looking forward to it. And it's been a little rainy up there, so it's good and muddy. We're going to get good and messy. But you want to make sure that you got to have sheets for the bedding. You got to have your towels, soap, personal items, things like that. Everything else should be taken care of. But all the things you're normally aware of, please be aware of that. I'm going to send out an announcement text tonight for those of you that I've got your number, which is everybody that I've got on my list. So you'll be getting a more detailed list of that tonight. But in general, you already know what's going on, so I'll send that along to you. If perhaps you are thinking about going, if you were considering going, I had a dropout today, somebody that could not go. If you would like to join in and go with us, please let me know this evening as soon as the service is over. As soon as the service is over, I'm buying some tickets that will lock us into a number after the service and get into some things tonight. So if you'll catch me before I leave tonight, make sure I know that you'd like to go with us. If you haven't already, let me know that. Okay, thank you.
All right, ushers, come forward, if you will. We'll worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings this evening. So many wonderful things coming up, really. I was thinking, as Mickey played this morning, the harp solo, I was thinking that I believe it's in February, that a man named Edward Clausen, E-D-U-A-R-D, I think is the way he spells it, Edward Clausen, plays a Paraguayan harp. Now, I don't know what that is. You'd know the difference, but it has a little sharper tone, a little crisper tone to it, and everything like that. It's fucked a little differently. But he's going to be here on a Sunday morning in February, and then he's coming back on a Thursday night for a concert. We're having him here on Sunday morning kind of introduce him to you. But it's not very often you get to go to a harp concert. And so this is a number of things. There's some people here in the church play the harp. Of course, Mickey plays the harp. And this year in Children's Music Academy, and some of you, I had to be out of town, but some of you saw them on Thursday night when they did their program. And they're playing the harp. They're learning to play the harp. And David, I don't know where you found 10 harps like that, but we have borrowed those, and the kids are, it's absolutely fantastic. that they're able to do that. What a wonderful experience. I don't know of any church I ever heard of where kids had the opportunity to take harp free of charge at the church. And who knows, some of them might develop that a little further as they take a liking to that. But that's a good thing, and all the wide spectrum of things that they learn to do. That will be in February. Then in March, Founders Conference. Founders Conference in March this year, we're going to go through. We always have 16 sessions in Founders Conference. And there's four sessions a day for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. That'd be 20, wouldn't it? That'd be 20? Okay, we'll divide it up. But anyway, there's 16 chapters in the book of Romans, and we're going to do the book of Romans. We're going to do the book of Romans this year. Now, we did the book of Romans in Founders Conference years and years and years ago. Becky Topper preached in that conference, didn't he? Her brother, who's in heaven now, preached in that conference. And over in the little building down there, Bob Kelly, we called him Machine Gun Kelly because of the way he preached. He's just like that. You think Aaron talks fast. You should have heard Bob Kelly. I mean, it was just, you know, scattergun. And he preached in that conference. He's in heaven now. And I don't know. Get to think about that. I don't want to say too many others. Some of these guys won't come back to preach for it. But we'll go through the book of Romans this year. And that'll be a great time. And then marvelous time around Easter Sunday. And man, we're already looking forward to July the 4th. And the trooper from West Virginia is coming back to preach for us again this year. I think it's on the 5th. The 4th is on Saturday, and then we have the Sunday, God and Country Day, on the 5th. And looks to be a wonderful year. Looks to be a wonderful year. And starting out good, starting out that way, we thank the Lord for it. I'm excited about it. Looking forward to it. Isaac's going to sing in just a little bit. The two of you are going to sing? Okay. Got Vitaly here to sing too. All right. I don't know how that all works out. It's amazing to see these kids come. I can't tell you, as a pastor, how thrilling it is to see these young people. I see these young people in this row right over here, right back here. And then I see some in here. And I see some back here. And I see some around in different places. And in school, graduated. A lot of them grew up here. Carrie Rule is here tonight. Carrie Rule grew up here. I guess she grew up. I don't know whether she did or not. She told me this morning, I said, how old are you now, Carrie? She said, I'm 28 years old. I said, oh, man, how old were you when you came here? She said, I was 13 or 14 when she came here. And, of course, Wally and Jan, they drug these four kids, they drug them around all over the world in the Air Force. And then they kind of settled here. And got here, and they've been in this church, I think, longer than you've been in any church since you've been married. And it's just, I don't know. I'm getting a little nostalgic as it comes here to the end of the year, so I better pray and let you give, okay? Father, thank you so much for people who love you, love your work, serve you, give to your work, and look for ways to increase that. I pray you'll bless this time together this evening. Thank you all that's going on. I ask you to watch over Mark and Hope and all the family as they travel to be with Mark's parents. I pray that you'll watch over them. Give them a good time. Give them safety, Lord. And give them a good time while they're there. Now, Father, I pray that your presence will continue to be with us here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Well, we're glad to have Vitaly and Isaac home from school, and they're going to sing a song titled, Behold Our God.
I wouldn't do this because these young people you see around here, singing in the choir, playing in the orchestra, all over the place here, they are this church. Now, us old folks here, we're this church too. And you in-between people trying to figure out whether you're young or old, you are this church too. But I'm glad that these young people are an intricate part of this church. I really think that you could take this group of high school young people that we have, this group of college career age young people, and have a strong, strong church with that group. If they just made enough money to give to support it, it would be... That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Open your Bibles to the book of Philippians chapter 3, which is a natural place, a familiar place to go at a time like this and for a message like this when I'm going to speak to you on spiritual goals. Spiritual goals. Now, this time of the year we talk about resolutions and goal setting and all that kind of thing. And that's good and fitting and proper, and there's nothing wrong with that unless it gets purely humanistic and secular. As believers, we've got to keep this thing spiritual. And it's not trying to bring spirituality into something that's carnal. It's that the carnal world, the world has taken this away from the church. And they begin using that as a method of success and accomplishment. I remember the time that I went to a thing called Success Motivation Institute, SMI. And I came across it in visitation. I met a fellow in visitation who was a salesman for this company. And it was a success-oriented company back in the early 70s. And they were located in Waco, Texas. And so I went with him to a very small session. At salesmen were allowed to bring one guest. I think they could bring one guest with them to this particular session, and I got to go. And I was there, and I listened to these people, and I listened to them talk, and I sat there, and these are people who, I met one fellow there who knew the Lord, but for the most part, they did not know the Lord. And it really irritated me. Now, it challenged me, but it irritated me. It irritated me that they were taking the principles that were in my book and they were applying them to a secular life for material gain. And that irritated me. And the Lord spoke to my heart about that and said, well, why don't you take some of the principles you say are in the book and apply them to your own life? And I think to some extent the Lord used that in my life in that way. Now, Paul says in verse 7 of Philippians 3, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect or complete or have reached the ultimate. But I follow after. Now, I think about myself and I think about all of us. Here is the Apostle Paul, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to him, giving him the words of this book to write to the church at Philippi, which God's going to preserve down here 2,000 years later. And we're reading it here. And Paul says, I haven't arrived. I haven't attained yet. And for me to get comfortable about my progress spiritually and feel that I have pretty well gotten along in this Christian life and doing pretty good, for me to think like that is a shame. Paul here, being used of God to write what is God's Word, and he said, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. I haven't gotten to the place. Neither am I already perfect. But I follow after. If that I may apprehend, I may reach unto and grab hold that for which Christ grabbed hold of me. Now, if the Lord took hold of you, you find that thing for which He took hold of you. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let as many as therefore be perfect be thus minded. Spiritual goals for 2016. Last year at this time, I gave you some suggestions for goals, for resolutions, whatever you want to call them, in different areas of your life, in the physical area of your life. And I ask you certain questions about where are you physically now, what kind of health are you in, what kind of health you want to be in 5 years from now, 10 years from now, what do you want to be? Physically, financially, where are you now? Where do you want to be? Where would you like to be? Where do you feel God would have you be? And I encourage you to set some goals in those areas. Socially, I hope some of you have increased yourself socially. And I'm not talking about social media. I'm talking about interaction, people with people. I hope you've learned how to smile and people you don't know and introduce yourself and get comfortable being around strangers and being in uncomfortable situations and expanding yourself in that way. I hope that you've grown a little bit mentally. I hope you've learned some things in 2015. I hope you've learned some things about the Word of God. I hope you've learned some things that will enable you to be more effective in your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I trust you've learned some things spiritually. And that's the thing I particularly come to tonight, to that area of your life, to the spiritual area of your life, spiritual goals. Paul said, I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended. I don't count myself to have apprehended, but forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. He said, there's a mark out there. There's a definite mark. There's a point toward which I am going. Now, what was that? Now, I don't know what in service that was. We can pretty well reason in Paul's life what that might have been, because in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, I fought a good fight, finished my course, and kept the faith. I did those things. I stayed at that thing. I went after that mark. Now, I don't know what it is exactly in your life, and that's up to you and the Holy Spirit through the Word of God to find that out for your life. I cannot tell you that. Sometimes I think I can, but it's not my responsibility to write down your goals. That's between you and God. It's what God has for you to do. What God has for you to do. There's probably a number of you in here that could write down some goals for my life and say, preacher, you need this. But you're not going to write the goals for my life, okay? And I'm not going to write the goals for your life. But I'm going to give us all some suggestions. First of all, spiritual goals. I don't know whether you want to write down these four things. I'm going to give you a number of things down through here around four different thoughts. Spiritual goals. Spiritual goals must be scriptural. If they're going to be spiritual, they have to be scriptural. Okay? Now, not only scriptural, and by that I mean there's nothing in Scripture that would be against that. Nothing that would be against that. They also must be pleasing to God. Pleasing the Lord. That in all things we may please Him. Pleasing the Lord. So spiritual goals must be. They must be scriptural. And they must be pleasing to God for your life. So they're consistent with all of Scripture. And they're pleasing to God. Now, I must say this also. Of course, these things overlap. But I must say this to give good definition to it. Spiritual goals must be Spirit-led. And if they're going to be Spirit-led, that implies surrender. That implies surrender to the Lord and surrender to the Holy Spirit. And so, they must be scriptural. They must be pleasing to the Lord. And they must be Spirit-led. Now, I would say this also about spiritual goals. Spiritual goals should be service-oriented. They should be service-oriented. Your goals for your spiritual life in 2016 should not be to feel a certain way. Your goals ought to be to accomplish certain things for the glory of God. So they're service-oriented. Most of our goals that people are going to share with you, if they talk about resolutions or their goals for 2016, they do that. Most of the time, they're going to be completely self-oriented. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to give. This is what I want to have. This is what I want to weigh. This is how much money I want to have. This is what I want to buy. This is all I. There's very little about others. Now you may say, I want to do this for people. I want to serve the Lord in this way. Now there's an I in that, but the I is the beginning point of service for others. It's not an I that focuses inward. It's an I focus outward. So, spiritual goals are scriptural, pleasing to God, spirit-led, and service-oriented. Now, I want to give you some goals for spiritual goals, okay? This is what the purpose of goals, what spiritual goals should do for you. Number one, they should bring you closer to the Lord. Always spiritual goals, if they're spiritual, will bring you closer to the Lord, not further away from the Lord. So whatever goals you set as spiritual goals for your life, and really any goals for your life in this year, they should be with a design to bring you closer to the Lord. Number two, spiritual goals should increase your faith. Now, we don't always like that. There's a number of ways faith increases. Faith increases by the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But the trying of your faith worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and so forth like that. And so, sometimes whenever we pray, Lord, give us faith, somehow we expect God to say, all right, boom, there's you a bunch of faith. It doesn't really work like that. We get it from the Word of God. We walk through trials. We see what God's done. We learn through experience. And we even have the testimony of other people that can increase our faith. But faith is increased as you are in the Word of God. Now, if you're having trouble with faith, if there seems to be doubts that are coming in your mind, you are not spending time in the Word of God. Those two cannot be together. You cannot spend time in the Word of God and not trust the Lord. So, they should bring you closer to the Lord, increase your faith. This also has an overlap, but your spiritual goals should do this for you. They should make you more Christ-like. Make you more Christ-like. People ought to say, wow, you know, that's kind of like what Jesus would do. Some of you may have read the book, What Would Jesus Do? In His Steps is the name of the book. And that's the question that's throughout that book. And it's not a thing that really happened. And we probably would not agree with everything in the book as we would in any book except this book. Okay? But it has a good idea of, in every situation, I ask myself, what would the Lord do here? If the Lord had to make this decision, what would He do? If the Lord had someone treat him like this, how would he respond to that? How would the Lord respond to that? Well, that's not hard to find out. You know, it's here in the book how he responded. And so those things are knowable, so they ought to make us more Christ-like. More Christ-like. The fourth thing I give that spiritual goals ought to do for you, and they ought to accomplish, they ought to cause others to trust the Lord. Now, I'm talking in both areas whenever I'm talking about that. Your spiritual goals ought to influence other people to trust God. And they ought to influence other people to come to faith in Jesus Christ and be saved. But they ought to also help brothers and sisters in Christ to come trust the Lord more in their daily walk. That's what your spiritual goals should do. Are those things taking place whenever, and I hope you will design some spiritual goals. And it's one thing to think about it, but you never really have a goal until you write it down. And so write it down. Write it down. Now, some goals are very simple. They're not simple to accomplish, but they're very simple to state. That's why next Sunday we're going to give you a guide to reading through the Bible in a year. You may have a pattern that you follow, or you may do like Don Shaw does and just read it through 6-8 times every year. I don't know. But he has a pattern he follows for reading the Bible through. Anytime he's not doing anything else, he's reading the Bible. And that's just what he is. How many times have you read it now?
88.
How many?
88.
I can't hear you.
88.
88. 88 times through the Bible. Through the Bible, 88 times. Now, I'm not going to make that. I'm not going to make that. But my hat's off to anybody that does that. But I cannot tell you his accountability before God for knowing that much of the Bible. How accountable. But isn't that a wonderful thing? That's a wonderful thing. 88 times through the Bible. Now, it ought to cause others to trust the Lord. And whenever I hear somebody's read through the Bible 88 times, I say, man, I can read some more. I can do more. I can read. That increases me. It challenges me. I'm going to give you three things spiritual goals require. Now, bring you closer to the Lord, increase your faith, make you more Christ-like, cause others to trust the Lord. They must be spiritual, scriptural. Spiritual goals must be scriptural, pleasing to God, spirit-led, service-oriented. What spiritual goals require? Spiritual goals, number one, as any goal for anybody in their life, you're going to have to be honest. Okay? It just requires honesty. I mean, if whatever goal you have, you've got to be honest with yourself about that. And you've got to be honest with yourself spiritually. Before you and the Lord, you've got to be honest about what you're doing. You've got to say, man, I haven't been doing that. I made a commitment to be doing that, and I'm not doing that. You've got to be honest. Okay? Number two, you've got to be humble. You're going to have to be humble. You're going to have to be humble before the Lord. And simply go to Him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I haven't been doing that. I have let that down. I haven't been doing that. And this one perhaps should have been first. Perhaps this should have been first. As far as spiritual goals require, it requires a commitment. There's a commitment. And now follow me. If you're saying, Lord, I want some goals for my life spiritually for this year. Okay, if you ask the Lord that, and you follow the pattern for setting those goals, Don't you think it'd be right to make a commitment to that goal? Well, sure it'd be right to make a commitment to that goal. I find it so strange that in spiritual things, people don't want to make a commitment. I hear young people today living together, not just young people, but living together, that will not make a commitment. They do not want to be committed. Some people do not want to join a church because they don't want the commitment. But you've got to be committed. And now they don't have any trouble signing a bank loan down, get a car. They'll commit to that. They'll commit $400 a month payment on a car, but they won't commit to something for the Lord. They'll sign a commitment on a credit card. They'll sign a commitment to pay for a house. But they won't make a commitment to the Lord. They'll make a commitment at work. They'll tell the boss, I'll do that. You know, I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to give you a raise. This is going to be the requirements. This is going to be the job. This is the position we're going to put you in. This is what depends. This is how we're going to compensate you. I want to know if you'll do that. Will you do that? And they'll say, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll see to it that it's done. I'll take care of it. I'll do it. And they'll make a commitment to it. But whenever it comes to God, they don't want to make a commitment. And you've got to make a commitment to that thing. Now, let me just give you a simple thing. I'm going to give you five simple things. I'd like to do more than that, but let's see if I can do that in 5 minutes, okay? Areas for your goals in 2016. For yourself, not for your husband, not for your wife. Now, it's okay to set some for your kids. That'll be all right. But it's not okay to set them for your parents' kids, okay? All right. Relating to the Bible. Relating to the Bible. Make some goals about reading. Just simply make some goals about reading your Bible. If you make a goal to read, now you're not going to read probably, this year you're not going to read your Bible 88 times. You know that. But you know what you could do? You could read the book of Philippians every week. You could read it every day. You could do that. You could read the book of Philippians every day. You could read Colossians. Really, you could read Romans every day, but you could do Romans in a week. At the end of the year, if you read the book of Romans every week, you'd have read it 50 times. Whenever somebody gets up, whenever we come, even whenever we come to March, whenever we come to March and we come to Founders Conference and the first speaker gets up, it's on Sunday morning in the Sunday school hour, and says, open your Bible to the book of Romans chapter 1. You say, oh, I know what's there. I know what's there. Chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all the way through. You'll know what's there. You'll know what's there. Now, that's reading. Also, study. Now, of course, if you focus on a particular reading like that, you'll do that, but one thing I'm going to give you the opportunity of next Sunday is some of you hear Aaron make this announcement about there's a sheet back there if you're interested in Search the Scriptures. And he talks about coming to a fellowship time where we sit around and discuss the passages that we've read. And some people are into that and some people are not. I hear a lot about small groups that people talk about. This is the absolute ultimate small group. It's the ultimate small group. I heard someone talking about small groups this way, how they start out. They start out here, they have fellowship, and they have a little time of fellowship, and they have a time of Bible study, and after a while they have a little more fellowship and a little less Bible study, and then it becomes a whole lot of fellowship and a little bit of Bible study. And now I know that doesn't always happen like that, but boy, whenever you get in and you have about 15 minutes of celery and carrots and broccoli and cauliflower and so forth like that, and maybe a sandwich, and have about 15 minutes of that, and then sit down around the Word of God for 2 hours. These people stay here for forever. I don't see how they get to work on Monday morning. Stay here and talk about the Scripture and what they've read and share about what they got out of Scripture. Now, you may not be into that, but you ought to find that there is something, and this is a good plan, that you get just take it and look at it and see the questions. And Aaron spends a lot of time on that, and he does a lot of reading before he presents that, and you can see that in the questions that are asked. And whenever you, without reading the passage of Scripture, you look at those questions, you say, whoa, man, I don't get that. I don't get that at all. No, okay, then read it 30 times. Read, what are you doing, 3 chapters? 10 through 13? Or 11? 13. 11, 12, and 13 of Hebrews for January. Hebrews 11, 12, and 13. Read those 3 chapters. Read those every day. And then whenever you look at those questions, you say, ah, yeah, okay, I can handle that. I can handle that. Why? Because it becomes part of you. Now that's study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Search the Scriptures. The Bereans were more noble because they searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Into the Scripture. Prayer. I encourage you, as I talked this morning about, clean out your schedule. Clean out your schedule to find some time for prayer. Just get rid of some things. Shorten up some other things. Shorten your computer time. Shorten your TV time. Shorten your newspaper time. Shorten whatever of those things to spend time in prayer. You're going to have to carve out a time that doesn't just happen automatically. You're going to have to carve. That's on purpose. That's on purpose. Do you know how the Muslims pray as much as they do? They pray at particular times. And boy, if you're in that country where you hear them sounds coming from the mosque. They get on their knees. And that's false. That's a false religion. Allah is not God. He's their God, but He's not the God of the Bible. It's not the same God. You have to carve out some time. Have a prayer list. Have a list. That doesn't have to be a long list. You don't have to write 200 things down on a list. But have a prayer list. List out some things you're praying for. Now, different people do that different ways, but you're going to have a something that you're praying for, not just as impulse strikes you. There's something that you're praying for. I've often referred to Dr. Lee Robertson, and I admired his discipline in this area of prayer, because there were few men busier than Dr. Lee Robertson. His time was occupied, but he found a way to carve out time to pray because he had certain people he prayed for when he tied his tie. He had certain people he prayed for when he tied his shoes. Those things that he could do automatically without having to think about them, he incorporated prayer into those things. So, you may need to be creative in that. Get on the church list for the email. Now, if you're not on that and don't get the email about prayer requests, well, I call the office or whatever like that and say, I want to get on that list to get the prayer request. Pray for missions. Pray for missions. Pray for missionaries. Pray for the visitation. Be a visitation prayer. And on Thursday night, whenever we come back in from visitation in the service, there's people say, I want you to pray for this. And you take that card and you pray for them for a week. You pray for their prayer request for a week. Opportunities for prayer. Now, there's some things that are involved in prayer, because there's some things that will prevent prayer from being all that it should be. Holding a grudge. Living with unforgiveness. Living with a wrong spirit. Living with anger, those things. So you need to deal with those things. I would encourage you to consider this sometime. Maybe one time a month. Take the time you normally would eat and just fast for that time. And don't eat and spend time in prayer. Carve out some time. Carve out some time for prayer. It goes on and on and on. I've passed my 5 minutes now. But I must mention these things in your giving. In your giving. I encourage you to do what God says in the matter of tithing. In the matter of tithing. Don't talk about that a whole lot. There's not a lot of pressure on giving here at this church. Perhaps there should be pressure. I like God to put that pressure on. His instructions are in the Word, in His Word, in His book. And it'd be good to have a goal. I've never done that in my life. I've never tithed. I've never done that. And that's true. That's true in most Christians' lives. Sad to say. But in most Christians' lives. Now, they've given, but they don't tithe. And I would encourage you to give. And you say, well, what do you tithe? Do you tithe on the net? Do you tithe on the gross? Or what do you tithe on? I don't know. Just give it a go and see what works. Depends on whether you want net blessings or blessings on the gross. Whatever you want, you know. However you want those blessings. And then offerings. Give to missions. Figure out a way to do that. Don't ignore the church budget. You know, the regular giving of the church. That enables all the other things that the church does. Give to the poor. Give to the poor. I know sometimes we get a little frustrated with people who are on the side of the road. Especially whenever you see a van come along and they drop a couple off here and then they go down to the next corner and drop a couple more off and so forth like that. But there are people who are really in need. People who are really in need. And if you look for people like that, God will bring people like that across your path. I know people here in this church that just felt the Lord leading them to give something and had no idea the need until they gave it. And the person just absolutely just was overwhelmed. I read this week. A fellow named O.S. Hawkins. Some of you would know the name O.S. Hawkins. O.S. Hawkins said that he had read this. It was not a quote from him, but he had read this. Never resist a generous impulse. Never resist a generous impulse. I think that's good. Number four. We've looked at Bible reading. We've looked at your Bible. We've looked at prayer, giving. And now, witnessing. Witnessing. Come to this matter of tracts. Personal invitations. Personal invitations to church. Neighbors, friends, co-workers, wherever. Or just knocking on doors at random. At random. You're witnessing. You're witnessing. Make a place and a time for that. We try to make a place and a time for that here at the church. And that's good and that's fine. And that may fit your time, it may not. But it's not a matter of doing it at the time. It's good if you can come to the time during the church, when the church sets aside for that. But that's got to be part of our lives. Whether it's part of what we do here at the church, that's got to be part of our lives. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's His word to us. That's a command. His commands ought to be our goals. If it's obedience, it has to be. And then I would say this to you, and I close with this. And just on the basis, I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended. Involvement in church. You say, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know. Well, find something. Find something to do. Find something to do. If you can't play an instrument, sing in the choir. If you can't sing in the choir, clean the building. If you can't clean the building, mow the yard. If you can't clean the building, mow the yard, sing in the choir, or play in the orchestra, keep a nursery. That's a good thing. There's just things all over. Now, in Journey Through Christmas, it's an intense involvement for 6-8 weeks. An intense involvement for 6-8 weeks. And I know this. I know you can't go like that year round. I know that. God knows that. I understand that. But we ought to find something to do. We ought to find something to do. Maybe somebody say, preacher, I'll bake cookies. I bake cookies for Journey. I'll bake some cookies every week and have them for our visitors who come to church. Homemade cookies for visitors who come to church. Wouldn't it be good? Wouldn't it be good whenever a person would turn in a visitor slip that they received fresh baked cookies made on Saturday and they get them on Sunday? Woo! Wouldn't that be something? You say, well, you don't ask that. I never thought of that until right now. But be creative. Be creative. Find something to do for the Lord here. Your goals ought to be service-oriented. Let's stand together. One of these days I'm going to preach on how to listen to a sermon. I've got about 6 or 7 points on it. Got about 6 or 7 points on it. But I appreciate you. Here we are. We stand on the cusp of a new year. It's a wonderful time, really. And I know it's just another day. I know that, but there is something that finishes this year and starts the next year. There's something about that. It's like a fresh start. It's like a fresh start. So I encourage you to really spend some time. It doesn't have to be a long time, but spend some time and write down some things. Write down some things. Last year, I challenged you to write some things. To write some things. Parents, I challenge you again this year. Write some things for your kids. Write some things about your life. Write some things about it. Write some things about your person. Whenever we had Shannon Sewell's service here, many of you didn't know him because he and Pat's still in the church and generally here every Sunday. She's out of town visiting kids now. But whenever he wrote about his life, he wrote one of the clearest salvation testimonies. As just a little pamphlet he put together about his life. And he told about when he got saved. And he wanted his kids to have that. And she gave that to me as he was dying. She said, I want you to get to know Shannon a little bit. Whenever I read that, man alive, I said, wow, his kids ought to love that. His kids ought to love that. I encourage you to do something like that. Father, let this matter of living for you be very practical in our lives. And I pray that this kind of a family time together here tonight, just talk about things as we approach this new year that's coming. I pray that it'll be a good year for us, Lord. And that whenever we come to this point next year, we'll be able to look back at some things we wrote down at the beginning of 2016 and we saw accomplished in our lives in that year. May it be so. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. The instruments are going to play. And if God has spoken to your heart and you need to come, maybe somebody needs to come and just commit to membership here in this church. We'd invite you to come. Good to have folks who did that this morning back here tonight. And if God has spoken to your heart about a need that is in your life for some things He's spoken to you about this evening, come take care of that, whether it's publicly, privately, or whatever. I don't know. But have thine own way, Lord. We want the Lord to have His way. May it be so. If God's spoken to your heart, we invite you to come right now. Father, I do thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then, Lord, what you gave us through your Apostle Paul. And Lord, the one who we're using to write the words that are preserved for us, Lord, and a person in that situation still striving to be more like you and to serve you better. What a challenge to my heart, Lord, and I trust to all of us. Now may we go out and live for you. I pray we'll go from this place with a determination to love you, serve you, be more like you, and keep those things before us that you've spoken to us about tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. I hope to see you Thursday night, but if not, Happy New Year. And pray for those that travel and be careful on the highways. Please, please. Stupid stuff happens this time of the year. And so watch. Be careful. Quickly as you can, yes.